What's in the weird news today? Authorities in Jackson, Mississippi are investigating after a dog was found sleeping in the middle of the road after apparently ingesting marijuana. He was tired.
Yeah, airy day, I'm tired.
Workers from Animal Rescue transported the animal to a nearby shelter where he tested positive for an extremely high level of cannabis.
Wow.
So either got into a stash or was fed the, hopefully not fed the drug, but a veterinarian said his system will be flushed out with fluid for the next 24 hours. Otherwise, the large black dog seems to be healthy.
Uh-huh. Wasn't there a Cheech and Chong bit where the dog ate the stash and...
Yeah, they followed him around the yard.
And then they were smoking the dope after the fact that was mixed with and laced with the poo.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Well, now it's become reality.
It was Labrador, I think, the brand of the marijuana.
Dozens of gas pumps in New Zealand were out of service on Leap Day due to computer systems not being programmed to accept a February 29th sale. Kind of forgot it was Leap Day in New Zealand.
Okay, right.
Chains like Allied Petroleum, Gull, Z, and Watamo, they reported difficulty processing payments. Motorists have been turning up and unable to get fuel, according to Julian Lays of Gull, New Zealand. It's been incredibly frustrating for our customers. John Scott of Invenco said that the problem came from a software update from the early days of the pandemic. Well, I suppose there was a software update and they thought, Leap Day, that's 4 years from now or whatever, you know.
Right.
So they said, it's okay. We'll just let that one pass. That would be frustrating, though, if you got to get to work on time. Card doesn't work. You don't have enough cash to buy gas.
Right.
Now you got trouble.
You do. A man is facing charges after allegedly stealing a blind woman's cell phone. Man.
Oh, man.
The Spokane Police Department in Washington says officers arrested Malcolm Davis for the incident downtown February 21st. Police say Davis walked up to the woman, asked her for money. So he's panhandling to a blind woman. She declined. Davis allegedly grabbed her Braille cell phone and ran. So she obviously...
Good grief. Yeah. Specialty cell phone.
Right. Police found Davis a short while later and recovered the stolen
phone.
Oh,
good.
That's good. Yeah.
Hopefully they spend a couple of nights behind bars for such activity.
I would think that even the pecking order in jail is like, you did what?
Yeah.
You stole a blind woman's phone?
You're in here because you did what? An unopened case of 10,752 hockey cards.
Ooh.
From 1979 and 80, the season, was recently sold for $3.72 million.
That's got to be the great ones time period.
Yeah.
Right?
Father and son were cleaning out a basement when they stumbled upon the find, which is expected to contain at least 27 Wayne Gretzky rookie cards.
Ooh, boy.
Jason Simons of Heritage Auction says that the hockey card case was one of the highest-priced items ever sold at Heritage.
Of course.
And it's certainly the highest-priced sold unopened item in the sports collectibles market. Somebody just had this full case of hockey cards.
Right.
And tucked it away, thinking, someday, you know, maybe those cards will be worth something.
Wow.
Or somebody didn't know what they had.
And right.
It's been sitting in this isolation all these years from the 79-80 season. That's a long time ago. What do we have in the weird news today?
Well, this one is kind of weird. A fundraiser event at an Oklahoma public school has gone viral as kids licked peanut butter off the feet of fellow students.
Oh, that's weird.
It's a fundraiser. Keep in mind, kids at Deer Creek High School outside of Oklahoma City licked peanut butter off the feet of their fellow students. And, of course, now the video is viral.
Yeah.
The Oklahoma Superintendent of Schools is vowing an investigation, calling the event filth, quote unquote.
Okay.
The school released a statement saying the students involved had signed up for the fundraiser. And, here's the kicker, it brought in more than $152,000 for a coffee shop that employs people with developmental disorders.
The kids wanted to do something.
And obviously they did.
Yeah.
And they thought, what's going to attract a lot of attention?
Right.
Yeah.
If you can just get the peanut butter and none of the feet, you know, it's probably okay.
It's the whole idea of that maybe there's something on those feet besides peanut butter probably that makes people squeamish, right?
Maybe this guy works for Peter Pan and they only use Skippy and Jif peanut butter and he was upset.
You wonder a little bit about the athlete's foot, you know? That's
oh, yeah.
With kids, you know.
You hope there's maybe the washing of the feet
and yeah,
before the spreading before of the peanut butter.
Peanut butter goes on. I would think they probably took that into the plan. A car thief in Los Angeles was outsmarted by an autonomous taxi and arrested after he failed to steal the vehicle. Police say 33-year-old Vincent Maurice Jones, he watched a passenger get out of a fully autonomous Waymo car. That was on Saturday. Took the opportunity to jump into the driver's seat and steal the car. You know, I'm taking this baby. He wasn't able to shift the vehicle into drive, though. And then a voice came on the speaker and said to him, get out of the vehicle.
Knew who he was. Wow. Or who he wasn't.
Evidently they know, you're not a driver of this vehicle. Get
right.
out of this car.
Yeah.
When Jones refused, the LAPD was called, and officers soon arrived to place him under arrest. He's charged with grand theft.
Yeah.
The autonomous car. Evidently, it's carjack-proof. I had no idea. But I suppose it's being controlled from somewhere else, it's being controlled through AI of some sort.
Right. Some kind of ID when it's facial recognition or something. Police in New York City say they busted a 10-year-old boy for the dangerous stunt known as subway surfing this past weekend. Officials told the New York Daily News that the preteen was the youngest person in recent memory to be caught performing the often deadly practice of riding on top of subway cars.
Oh my gosh. Goodness, wow.
Cops say the kid was on the roof of an A train on elevated tracks around 6:30 on Sunday evening. So he's on top, plus he's up in the air because it's elevated
right.
tracks.
Mm-hmm.
The boy was detained before he was released to his mother's custody. Little guy's got the, you know, his ears being held by mom as they leave the police station.
It's like,
you're coming with me, young man.
Yeah, right. What are you thinking? He wasn't thinking, obviously. Poor choice. Wisconsin man Ronald Gorski has officially eaten 34,128 Big Macs. Gorski began his burger binge May 17th, 1972. And get this, he's saved every single McDonald's receipt since then. May 17th, 1972. Like when you were probably freshman?
Every receipt?
Freshman in high school, Mackie.
Wow.
You save every McDonald's receipt proving that you're eating Big Macs all the way back to 72. Gorski has been in love with Big Macs since his first bite. In that moment, I said, I'm going to probably eat these for the rest of my life, he commented. While he used to eat about 9 sandwiches a day, he now consumes about 2. He's cut back.
Trying to drop a couple.
9 Big Macs a day? However, he's still not tired of them. People who have watched me eating a Big Mac often comment that I look like I'm eating one for the very first time. So
got the pleased look on his face.
Obviously enjoying it. But what really gets me is he set out to do this, trying to break some sort of record when he was, you know, who knows how long. 1972 is a long time ago to keep every receipt.
Right.
He wanted to prove it somewhere down the line.
Wonder what the first Big Mac cost him. Pretty cheap, I bet.
Over 34,000 Big Macs in his lifetime.
First receipt was what, a couple bucks, buck and a half?
Yeah, I'm sure they've gone up over time. How are we doing? You got some weird news over there?
Yeah, I got some good ones today. We were just discussing if T-Man was still with us.
Yeah.
He's been showing up about once a year lately.
Well, once a year he comes in.
I'm tempted to save this story until he's here, but I'll use it.
Maybe reuse it?
I might bring it back when
okay.
he's here. A man in Las Vegas is suing a luxury hotel in Vegas, claiming that a scorpion stung him in the testicles while he was sleeping.
What? How does this happen?
See, Norton would be on the floor laughing right now. The alleged incident happened at Venetian's Palazzo, if you're going to Vegas.
Okay.
On December 26th, the man said he was stung three or four times,
wow,
which left him in excruciating pain.
You think?
I'll bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. He says he's still dealing with medical issues months later. The man adds he had to pay for the hotel room despite what happened.
He did? They didn't gift them the room after that incident?
Wow, not even that.
Wow.
But he's got the best story years from now, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Did I tell you about the time the scorpion stung me in the balls, you know? You know, that's...
Yeah.
What happened?
You did what? You said what? Well, this is another one that's definitely bizarre. The singer of a Nashville-based band called Lorona has been accused of dosing the bassist in the band with estrogen.
What?
The motive? He wanted to steal the guy's girlfriend. Lorona posted about the incident on their Instagram account. While the posts have been removed, fans have seen screenshots alleging that Diego was lacing his bandmate's supplements with estrogen in an attempt to make him more feminine and less attractive to his girlfriend. Apparently, the guy's name is Styx, the bassist, suffered some physical problems relating to the estrogen.
I'll bet.
Quote unquote, he has been attempting to force a transition onto him for the last 5 months and hopes that he would give him the opportunity to swoop in once he looked stronger and more manly in comparison, the post reads. It's
wow.
It's unclear if charges are going to be filed or not.
What a bizarre plan.
Which guy's getting kicked out of the band is the first question.
Yeah.
I'm wondering. And then on top of that, it's like a forced transition of sorts, you know?
Oh, man.
You're loading the guy's immune system up and his... Everything about the chemical balance in his body.
Right.
Wow.
I know who should be kicked out, the guy who dosed him.
He's going to have to form his own band now.
Yeah.
But he's like the lead singer. He's just, you know, kind of the brand of the band.
As long as the rest of the band is, you know, be wary of the guy, maybe he could join Poison.
Especially back in the day, right?
Yeah. Officials in Michigan say an explosion at a business last night was fueled by butane canisters. This is weird.
Oh, man, yeah.
And over 100,000 vape pens. The blast happened at select distributors in Clinton Township, north of Detroit, which is a retail location called, has a retail location called Goo. Clinton Township Fire Chief Tim Duncan says the business recently received a semi-load of butane, and last night's fire led to canisters becoming projectiles. Yeah.
Yeah.
A 19-year-old man was struck in the head a quarter of a mile from the scene and later died.
Oh, man.
So it's like a bullet going through the air. Duncan says his department will be conducting an investigation to see if the company could have broken the law by using that many canisters in one location.
Well, from what was on the news last night about this fire, number one, the video showed these projectiles going off. It looked like fireworks going off, but
I'm
there
sure.
was these little butane things, you know, and they weren't licensed at all to have any of that stuff at that location. So the authorities are like, this should have never happened. This stuff wasn't supposed to be here. They had the last inspection 3 months ago. This stuff wasn't here. But, I mean, they knew when the inspector was coming. Probably.
Right.
You know, he was just here 3 months ago. He's not coming back for a while. Yeah, we can run all this stuff through this place. The neighborhood is going through this explosive thing.
Holy retail cow. Location called Goo.
What a deal. Scuba diver Derek Langos makes a living recovering items from Indiana's chain of the lakes. So far, he has found about 200 Apple sports watches during his dives.
Okay.
This is maybe a little warning to everybody out there that thinks that it's okay to go ahead and do a little, you know, you know, water skiing as long as my Apple Watch has the sports band on.
Yeah.
Here's the statement from this guy. The ones with the sports bands, they do not stay on in the water, according to Langos. However, he's holding on to the items in hopes of finding the rightful owner. I haven't sold anything, including a white gold Cartier ring, he committed.
Oh, boy.
Langos has also found jewelry, phones, prescription glasses.
Sure he has.
Yeah. I lost my glasses in a lake one time.
And your phone.
I lost my phone in the lake.
We just found it for you.
You jumped back in and pulled it up. Thank you, Mackie. Rescued my phone out of the lake.
Police in one South Jersey town are on the lookout for a guy who dunked his head in the store's open pickle barrel. whoever he is, the guy left a fully sour taste in the mouths of workers at Heritage's Day Store in Glassboro, New Jersey, about 20 miles south of Philly. Store workers say the unknown young man walked into the store and with a splash dunked his head into the store's pickle barrel, costing the store about $52 in now spoiled pickles.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, I would have guessed more than $52. Glassboro police have posted the delinquent's photo online, but won't show the store video since they say the pickle poacher was recording himself with his phone and would probably enjoy the attention. So,
now that's true, probably.
He's looking for clicks.
You don't hear about this very often, a snowmobile crashing into a Black Hawk helicopter. I don't know if I've ever heard that before.
No.
May conjure up images in your mind of something out of a, I don't know, CGI type of generated action movie type of scenario. It actually happened, though, and now a Massachusetts man is suing the U.S. government. 5 years ago, Jeff Smith, riding his snowmobile on a trail, he crashed into a parked Army helicopter.
That makes a little more sense.
That he didn't see coming. He suffered life-threatening injuries, which required years of treatment and multiple surgeries. He's been left without the use of his left arm and he has respiratory issues. The helicopter was from Fort Drum in New York. It was being used in a night training exercise, which they do. I mean, the night training exercises happen. It was camouflaged and parked on an airfield, which is primarily used as a snowmobile trailer.
Okay.
So it is an airfield. It was camouflaged.
And it is a snowmobile
trailer. And normally they allow snowmobiles to go on this open area. Smith has already sued the owner of the airfield for giving snowmobile drivers and the Army permission to use the area and has settled on an undisclosed amount of money. His lawsuit against the U.S. government is seeking $9.5 million in damages, though. Trying to get some big dough out of the United States. He claims that the crew didn't do enough to alert snowmobilers to the presence of the helicopter and didn't have lights on it. So, but that's a tough one.
Right.
You got the situation going where they're doing night training and the soldiers are just doing their job. You know, they figure this is where we're supposed to park and camouflage our chopper.
They want the chopper to be hard to see.
Yeah.
That's the point of it.
Meanwhile, they didn't shut the snowmobiles out of it. And so the snowmobiler has suffered, obviously, a lot of consequence if he can't use his left arm. Wow, what a deal. I'm sure the courts will figure that one out.
We might be getting a phone call here, Dan. Officials at the Texas border say they made an unusual discovery. Customs agents working the international bridge in Brownsville found a pair of howler monkeys hidden inside a pickup truck. The driver, a 29-year-old Mexican man, was arrested on violating international trade laws.
Mm.
The monkeys were turned over to the Gladys Porter Zoo in Brownsville. Well, that's good. I thought, you know, maybe we'd get a call from a Texas border agent. Here, you boys like monkeys.
We like monkeys, generally.
We got a couple howler monkeys
the show,
need a new home.
Kind of like monkeys, but...
Yeah.
You know, not the smoking toughs.
No, we don't like the monkey toughs in Paris.
And I don't know about the howling now either. I mean, if they're really howling.
Are they howler monkeys? I don't like that idea.
The Pittsburgh Area Naturalists Group is holding a balls-out bowling event, Mackie.
Okay.
Okay. The event requires nudity, with the exception that women can wear their bottoms, it says here.
Okay.
Nude bowlers will play at Grafton Ingram Lanes for the price of $25 a person. Tickets got to be purchased in advance. Bowlers are encouraged to bring a towel and bag for their belongings. The bowling. I don't know about this whole deal,
Big
Mac.
Big Balls Bowling. I wonder if they're inviting that guy who got stung by the scorpion, because he's probably, you know, he might just win by showing up.
Uniquely qualified to bowl? Is that what you're thinking,
right,
Mac?
Yeah.
Bowlers got to be 18 or over. Sexual activity not permitted, it says here.
Well, you don't promote that at all by nudity everywhere.
And nothing gamey is going to happen anywhere around there, right?
No.
Mackie, into the weird news this morning. Where are you going with that?
I don't think I'd heard about this. Those that suffered frostbite in Kansas City in January at the Dolphin-Chiefs game may need amputations.
I just read the same story. Yeah. Go ahead, though. How bizarre is this?
Grossman Burn Center Medical Director Dr. Megan Garcia said 70% of the people who got frostbite in the below-zero temperatures are now being told to schedule amputation procedures. 70%? Many of those were fans who attended the game, the playoff game between the Dolphins and the Chiefs. The temperature was -4 at kickoff. Wind chill, -27. Garcia said she thinks the number of amputations will be between 10 and 20.
Wow. That's amazing. You know, people go out to have a good time, do a little tailgating. It's 4 below, and they're not prepared for it. And the one guy just had his glove off for a 5-minute period or something like that, ends up having to have some treatment.
Man.
Schedule your amputation after being a Chiefs fan. Something you don't want to hear from the doc, that's
no,
for
I'll
sure.
Say, yeah. You can't, get up, go somewhere in the stadium where you could get
warmed up
a little bit.
Yeah, instead of your fingers turn into little chiclets. When it comes to surgeries, there is a vast difference, between gallbladder surgery and a vasectomy, Mackie. There's quite a bit of difference.
A difference?
Yeah.
I would think that's true.
A man in Argentina went to the hospital to have his gallbladder out. But when he woke up from the procedure, he discovered that the doctors actually performed a vasectomy instead, even though his file clearly stated gallbladder.
Wow.
The mix-up apparently occurred because 41-year-old Jose Bass went in for the procedure on a Wednesday. It was originally scheduled for Tuesday, but had to be delayed a day. It turns out the vasectomies are performed at the hospital on Tuesdays, and gallbladder surgeries are done on Wednesdays.
Okay. Wow.
Which is why the staff assumed he was there for the latter.
Right.
No, we always do vasectomies on Wednesdays. Jose has hired a lawyer, as you can imagine. He's devastated, especially because he wanted to have a child with his girlfriend, he says here.
Okay.
As soon as he woke up and found he couldn't have kids, he probably decided, I really want kids.
Darn it, yeah.
Yeah.
New York City Health Department is offering what it's calling a Rat Academy.
Oh.
Rat Academy classes for gardeners. Rats are resilient, something that New York City residents know all too well. They pose a real challenge for gardeners because they consider the carrots, peas, and avocados they're trying to grow five-star food as far as the rats go, just like your trash. So the city is offering 2-hour classes starting next week online and in person on rat management for gardeners, not just in English, but also in Spanish and in Cantonese.
Wow.
Professor Wild, have you been asked to come with your hatchet to the class?
Nobody's reached out to me yet.
I'm surprised.
But I have a brand new hatchet that I'm ready and willing to use,
yeah.
I'll tell you that.
Right, because rats are not people, too. Rats are rats.
Right. A Florida man has been arrested for reportedly joking that he had a bomb in his bag. Oh, very funny. And that's what everybody said except this guy, 70-year-old Alan Berzinski. He told police that he was trying to be funny and may have actually been an attempt at flirting. it says here. The incident occurred on Friday at Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport when two witnesses heard the passenger say, "If the bomb in my bag goes off prematurely, I apologize to your family in advance."
Oh, man.
Not funny.
You can't joke about
that
stuff in an
airport. You can't say stuff like that. The witnesses, alarmed, reported the statements. Borenzinski was arrested, has been charged with making a false bomb report. And when has that become a come-on, by the way?
Yeah.
If this bomb goes off in my bags prematurely. Wink, wink.
Right. Sorry about your family.
Yeah, that's a real, great way to get in the good favors of the person you're trying to flirt with.